In the name of God, who creates us, connects with us, prunes us, bears fruit with us, and abides with us. Amen. I want to tell you a story about my late mother, Beverly Oliver. She was a high-energy woman who had many unique interests. And one of the things she studied was the ancient Japanese art of bonsai. Bonsai trees are part horticulture and part art, and the techniques use pruning of roots and branches, potting, defoliation, and grafting to produce small trees that mimic the shape and style of mature, full-sized trees. I remember her beautiful collection, none of which I have today, sadly. She had evergreens and maples and flowering trees and many others. She really got into the bonsai world. She studied in Japan, was president of an international bonsai club, and had wonderful experiences with her bonsai friends, both trees and people, as she called them. When she did most of this, I was in high school and college and knew a little about what it was and what she did, but being a kid with my own interests, I paid little attention. Yes, I wish I'd paid more. But I do remember some things about what she taught me when I was paying attention. She taught me about the pruning of roots and the wire shaping of branches so that the tree would fit in a special container and grow in a unique way. She taught me about cutting off leaves and new shoots to help the tree become a more perfect miniature in time. She taught me about grafting, using a different kind of branch to create a whole new variety. She taught me about patience. It takes a long time to see results and to bear fruit with bonsai. But most of all, she taught me about the attention of the bonsai master to the tree, and about the relationship she had with each tree. And Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. You are the branches." Today's gospel story takes place on the night before Jesus' death. It is part of his long farewell discourse to his disciples, and his words are meant to give comfort and hope to the disciples in the days after his death. Jesus uses the image of a vine to illustrate. He says, "I am the vine and God is the vine grower." This final "I am" statement is part of seven "I am"s in the Gospel of John that come before this. And you remember them. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life." And now, "I am the vine." And in this image, Jesus reveals himself and the interconnectedness of God and himself to all of his disciples and to the community of faith. He identifies himself with a symbol that was common in the Jewish tradition, the vineyard, an image of the promised land, an image of the restoration spoken of by the prophets. And then in the gospel tradition, the vineyard is an image of the kingdom of God, and the vine is Christ himself. This common metaphor is a powerful proclamation of the nature of God and Jesus. The people in his time would understand it, and I think it can speak to us in our time too, even if we don't grow grapes. So a typical vine in the ancient Middle East was planted on a dry, rocky hillside in soil that was of marginal value to the growing of other plants and in maximum sunlight. And it was pruned back in the winter to its main twisted vine stock and appeared gnarled and strong. In the springtime, the vine is transformed and becomes the epicenter of activity. New branches and shoots sprout out every which way, growing several feet in a short time. But the vine must be pruned again so that the energy can go towards producing fruit. Not just the dead wood, but the live wood too, especially that which does not give any evidence of much fruit bearing. Because the vine grower knows that all the energy of the vine needs to go into bearing fruit. The new vines are all tangled up and connected. They begin to bear fruit, and then it ripens in the sun. And there's much energy and vitality and life and fruitfulness. The image of Jesus as the vine describes a really close relationship between him and us that is characterized by a special interrelationship with the hope of us abiding in him as he abides in us. The other images of bread and light and shepherd are powerful, but don't necessarily have the physical connection of the vine and its branches. The vine gives we branches our life, and the vine grower is the source of all that is. The gifts of the vineyard, the vine, and the vine grower can be seen in the flourishing that happens. We receive life, energy, and fruitfulness, and our own fruit starts ripening. The vine also symbolizes the characteristics of God's community. It is living and always changing. It is growing and gets larger every day. It is enduring and able to survive adverse conditions. And it is outreaching as it extends out its shoots and branches. And the other thing about the vine image that is important is that it provides us with a radical, inclusive image for our lives and for the church. We can't tell one branch from another. No branch has pride of place. And we branches and shoots are all tangled up with one another, whether we like it or know it or not. And we are related and connected. We all grow out of the same vine, Jesus. And it is only because of our common root that we can bear fruit. God prunes and shapes the vine to produce the maximum fruit, and all branches are equal in God's eyes and in God's tending. That tending and pruning and encouraging is pure grace for us. We can't do any of this by ourselves as we become the fruit bearers, Christ's hands and hearts in the world. Jesus is our way, our truth, and our life. So what in our lives could use some pruning in order for us to bear more fruit? Perhaps God needs to wield the pruning shears on our anxiety, our fear, our pride, our overconsumption, our divisions, and we probably have an endless list. And it's not that we personally will be thrown into fire and burned, although it can feel like that at times, but rather that the things that keep us from staying connected to the vine and to other people, the things that keep us from bearing love to the world, just might need to be cut away for new shoots to come through, for new fruit to hang on to our branches. The trouble, of course, with all this new fruit bearing is that sometimes, and maybe most times, we cannot always see the results. It's kind of like with grapevines. We can see the ripened grapes, but right then we can't see the finished products of grape juice or wine or raisins or grape jam. And yes, some fruit bearing is more noticeable or more quickly produced, and we can actually see the signs of ripe fruit, new life, or a mature miniature tree in a small container, and resurrection among us. We are invited to bear fruit, to show tangible signs of love to each other. We are invited to stay connected to the vine and to trust the vine grower, to receive the mercy and grace of Jesus, who is our lifeline, to receive the love of God in which we are rooted and grounded, to be attentive to others with whom we are connected, to serve the needs of the world, and to not worry about outcome. The late Barbara Bush once said, "Never lose sight of the fact that the most important yardstick of your success will be how you treat other people." This kind of fruit bearing cannot always be measured in the ways of our world. At times, our world can be, as someone once said, kind of a cut flower civilization. Now, I have nothing against cut flowers. My dad was in the flower business. But when we are cut off from the vine and from God's roots of love, all of our efforts can wither and die. I read about some great fruit bearing that's gone on in Austin, Texas. Alan Graham was a former real estate developer who had a spiritual awakening after attending church and then a men's retreat with his wife and family some 20 years ago. Well, not the men's retreat with his wife and family, but church. He confronted his own spiritual brokenness and asked God for some direction. God tended Graham's special branch and told him in a vision to deliver sandwiches to the people living on the streets of Austin. So that actually led him to abandon his career and devote his life to serving Austin's poorest and most marginalized community. Graham and five friends from his church started Mobile Loaves and Fishes in the late 90s as a food truck ministry that served people on the streets. They pulled together other parishioners, including the church's janitor, who had been previously homeless, and they decided to distribute not only sandwiches and coffee, but phone cards so that people could call their families. The janitor pulled Graham aside and told him that most homeless people don't have anyone to call. They need socks, not phone cards. So the phone cards were pruned out and socks were grafted in. He urged Graham to meet his friends where they lived, in alleys, in tents, and under bridges. And Graham said that he learned that ministry to homeless people must be relational, not transactional. So he himself spent some 200 nights living on the street, listening to their stories. And the keys to this kind of fruit bearing were these: always offer choices, don't skimp on the meat, and introduce yourself. But eventually for Graham, this ministry was not enough. He wanted more fruit. He wanted to lift the people up and to provide them homes in a supportive community. So after many branches and shoots wove their way into 7 years of setbacks and fundraising and volunteers and faith communities, the Community First Village opened in December of 2015. Talk about abiding and staying with it. This unique community has some 170 people, including Graham and his wife, and 150 of those were formerly homeless. And they live right there outside the city limits. And this is cool. They live in micro homes, tiny houses, and RVs at a greatly reduced rate per month. And it truly is like a little village. They have paved walks and everything, and community buildings. And the community offers social services, clinic, recovery programs, a chaplain, who happens to be a retired Episcopal priest, and other support services. Graham's entrepreneurial spirit that he had used as a businessman, once it connected to the true vine, helped him bear fruit in the new community. And the simple mission of this ministry is that housing alone won't heal all the homelessness, its wounds, and other sadness, but the community will. Staying connected to the vine and God and others bears much fruit. It's all about roots and relationships. So, my friends, let's go bear some fruit together. We're invited to be bearers of love and to remember what Jesus said. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And remember Jesus' root command, love each other. Amen.